I'll be facilitating today's meeting. Hold on, I gotta press got it. Sorry.
Go ahead and repeat that real quick.
I'm going to be recording the meeting. So I'm Deborah Lake, the Vice President of the Mid-Beach Neighborhood Association, the Public Space Working Group and Membership Working Group Chair. I'll be facilitating today's meeting. And BNA represents Miami Beach Hotels and Condominiums along Collins Avenue and Indian Creek Drive from 24th to 63rd Street. And BNA has more than 60 active property members representing more than 12,000 condo units or hotel rooms in the community. MBNA consists of an executive board and working groups. All members are invited to participate in any of the working groups and to engage with us continuously via the chat, social media, or emailing us. We host monthly membership meetings from January to June and September to November, and working groups meet throughout the year to make progress on our issues of interest. So essentially, today will be our last meeting for 2022. Today's agenda is on our website at midbeach.net. Alicia Casanova has graciously updated it minute by minute. And so after our introductions and budget impacts, we're going to go ahead and go through the agenda. And then let's see. We have our...
We have a quorum. Let's take roll for the board.
Let's see who's... I thought I saw Esteban, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I saw Michelle.
Yes, here.
Thank you. And where is Mr. Flores? Did you guys see him?
No, I have not.
Jose? Our MBNA president, Anna Marie Ferrer DeMello, is absent today. And who else am I missing? Oh, where's Justin?
Oscar Vasquez?
Mayor.
Oscar, okay. And Justin.
And Justin is there too. I see him. Okay, yes. So we have quorum and I'm here, so.
Thank you, and Alicia Casanova. Okay. All right, so then we're gonna go ahead and begin. So Treasurer and Collins Avenue, 24 to 41 Working Group Chair, Justin Jacobs.
Like the treasurer's report?
Let's go through the treasurer's report.
All right, make it easy. Bank balance is unchanged as of October 31st from September 30. Balance of $4,831.85. No checks written, no debits, no credits. We have one pending credit for $384 from SurveyMonkey. Membership changes, none. No renewals. Current membership, 63 members, 44 condominiums, 19 hotels. And we'll be in the process of sending out invoices for our 2023 membership dues over the course of the next 30 days or so. So everyone on here who's responsible for that should be looking forward to an email and call from Anna Marie and I. And that's the report.
Perfect. Thank you. And then, Alicia, do you want to address our October meeting minutes?
Well, what we have the videos of the recordings. Right now, we're transcribing those two. There are two videos, and that's all on midbeach.net on the under the tab that says Minutes of Meetings. You can access these recordings there. So we typically post the videos, and that's what we have. And we will post the written minutes as soon as we get them transcribed by somebody that we've got to contract to do that. So we can approve the minutes as presented in the videos. Somebody can make a motion for that.
Is there a motion to approve October minutes?
I approve.
I'm not sure Michelle made the motion, but I motion the approve.
Yeah, and I approve. I second.
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Michelle.
Say all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hear none. Motion passes. All right.
We have with Commissioner Alex Fernandez, who just joined us. Hi, Alex. Welcome. So good to see you in a meeting.
Good to see you.
Oh, yeah. And I also see Daniel Reyes from Eileen Higgins' office.
Yes.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
And then I did see Commissioner Minor, but maybe we should formally announce
him. Yes, we did. We said hello to him already.
Hello again.
At least you're not on a boat this time.
Exactly. I'm in City Hall. I'm actually probably about 10 feet away from where Commissioner Fernandez is.
Oh, really? Okay.
Last time I was in Spain when I last saw you in this meeting.
Oh, wow. Good. And of course, we have candidate Laura Dominguez there. She's somewhere in the polls. No, what's going on, Laura? Where are you?
I'm at City Hall, so early voting is going on now, 7 to 7 until Sunday, November 6th at City Hall or the North Shore Library on 75th and Collins. And you can vote for me, ballot 132.
Well, you need to go vote. Everybody needs to vote. There's no doubt about that. Okay, Deb, go ahead.
And then we also have Michael Gangora, former Commissioner Michael Gangora. I think he's also running for mayor. Hi, Michael.
Hi, thanks for the shout out. Always happy to be here with you all. And just a quick reminder that I am presently the only candidate for mayor a year from now. So I look forward to talking with you all about that more throughout the coming year.
Thank you. Do I have any other special guests that I can't see?
We have a few people from the city, but they'll be talking throughout the meeting. So.
Okay, fantastic. So let's go ahead and move forward. So thank you for the treasury report, Justin. And some of our old business that we want to address is our beach and water quality working group. And our chair for that is Oscar Vasquez.
Good evening, everybody. I wanted to give everybody a brief update of our most recent meeting on October 19th. And the MBNA board has drafted a call to action on sargassum going into next year's peak season. And what we basically did at the last meeting was try to identify the different stakeholders that we need to bring to the table in order to improve the results during the peak months in particular. And that, of course, is July, August, September, and a good part of October, depending on the weather. And the reason for that call to action was and is, of course, the very poor conditions of the beach this year, even with the yeoman efforts of the city and the county in putting more boots on the ground and cleaning it up. We still lost our beach on a number of days where we could not enter, especially at the hot spots. Our next meeting is November 16th, and then we're going to take December off and back in January. And we hope in our November 16th meeting to have a little bit more collaboration from the state and the county. And the county was kind enough to provide us with the current contract with the Raker. And I've been looking at that contract, and there are a few interesting points of potential opportunity to improve our situation there within the scope of the current contract. So we're gonna try to table that at the next meeting. And the other item that we talked about and we do plan to table, unless we have some information here from the city today, is the concessions. We've got concession renewals coming up early next year, and our members anxiously want to know the rules of the game for concessions and concession management. So John Ripple has indicated that the city is in the process of rewriting the rules and regulations in the manual, but MBNA is wanting to make sure that we can get a draft of that to our members in a timely fashion so we can provide feedback to the city before it goes to the commission and the press. And then the last item is beach renourishment. And I know we do have somebody on from the Army Corps. Not sure if she's prepared to give us an update, but we know the project is a little bit behind the original schedule. And our members are really anxious to understand the impact on their areas. Who was on from the Army Corps?
Yeah, somebody was there earlier.
Hi. Jennifer. Yes. Yes, oh, Jennifer, my name is Jennifer Brand. Hi, everybody. I am actually part of the Corporate Communications Office for the Corps of Engineers Jacksonville District. So I was not told ahead of time to prepare remarks. I apologize. Our weekly meeting this morning. We had our weekly meeting. We have our weekly meetings at 11 o'clock on Wednesdays. And I was just kind of told, hey, go to this meeting. I promise. I actually am a Miami resident, so I live down here, so I will be able to attend these meetings definitely more regularly and provide you guys updates just scunch more notice.
Okay. That would be great. Having you attending is a big one, so we need that.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure.
So Jennifer, a couple of takeaways, and we really weren't expecting an update here as much as I saw you on and thought maybe you did have something, but the upcoming November 16th beach and water quality is in fact where we're looking to get some participation and updates. And one other takeaway other than the renourishment schedule is we want to try to understand the impact of, and we can discuss this offline if it's not clear in this short conversation, but we want to understand the impact of the breakwaters on the sargassum. It appears to our members around the 29th Street area that the breakwaters are creating a catch point for the sargassum and making a bad thing worse. So if you can give me on the chat screen your email address, I'll send you some pictures and some additional details.
Absolutely, sir. Not a problem. I know the 16th, I happen to unfortunately not be available, but doesn't mean that we can't, and that I might not be able to get somebody who can join in on that conversation.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Thank you. So,
Oscar Jennifer, this is Samantha with the City of Miami Beach. I do have some, specific project updates just for beach renourishment, just because we have a specialist that does attend like the weekly meetings and, works closely with the Army Corps. If you do want that at some point in this
meeting. Absolutely. Go ahead. It's on the agenda item right now that we're talking about. So go ahead, Jennifer.
It's fine. Okay. So as you all may know, there are four segments for the beach renourishment. So I'll just go for, a status update on each segment. So for segment one, which is Allison Park, which is from 60th to 69th Street, the renourishment at that segment has been completed and the beach is open to the public. And now they are currently working on restoring Allison Park. So, they needed to create a dune crossover to assist with that beach renourishment work. So it has been regraded and replanted, and the sprinkler system has been repaired. The contractors will also be reinstalling the coral wall, replacing the pavers, planting sod, and repairing the asphalt and sidewalk in the next few weeks. Okay. And for segment two, which is from 50th to 56th Street, the sand placement is ongoing in the south portion of the segment around 50th Street. And so sand placement in this segment will continue into next year, approximately March of 2023. And so because of that, the southern portion of the segment will remain closed to the public during working hours due to its proximity to the staging area, just because this area is being used for sand transfer. For segment three, which is Indian Beach Park from 44th through 49th Street. Segment three is currently about one third completed. They're gonna do an inspection sometime this week, maybe next week, because they're no longer receiving sand. So they're going to begin essentially demobilizing from this segment for Art Basel. They're required to be out of that section by November 14th. So that is happening. And then they won't return to this segment until next year, once again, around March 2023.
So segment three, the hill is gone. I noticed that. So they finished that in segment three. And then you said that they're stopping now until 2023?
Yes, for Art Basel. So they need to be out of that segment by November 14th.
Oh, that's why the trucks are gone.
Yes. Okay. So they've begun that demobilization. Okay. And then for segment four, which is from 23rd through 36th Street, is not projected to begin until next year. So approximately January of 2023.
Okay.
So that's right. Essentially the updates for that we have, at least for the beach renourishment.
Appreciate it, Samantha.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, with that, I'll turn it back to Alicia for the 41st Street discussion.
Okay, I think Justin, you and I, so Justin Jacobs on our board, he represents 24 to 41, and I represent 41 to 63. So we're both working on this project together. The mayor signed a resolution that that approves the situation of turning. How do we turn to go westbound on 41st? We have an issue going from the north west on 41st, and we have an issue going from the south west on 41st. So what we're doing right now, and I don't know, Jose Gonzalez is not on, but I am not sure if somebody is there to talk, to speak about this, if there's any updates on that. Anybody, Milos, are you, did Jose send you to talk about 41st Street?
Yes, this is Milos with the City Transportation and Mobility. Comes to southbound right turn from Indian Creek Drive onto the westbound 41st Street. We have been working together for the last couple of years, really. And in September of this year, City Commission adopted a resolution which urges FOT to, as part of their upcoming project, looking to and actually design and implement dual southbound right turn lane. This would be part of the FDOT project from 44th Street to 4700 block. The City Commission adopted that resolution, and in response, FDOT is will be incorporating improvements as part of the design. FDOT was at about 90% design. However, they are updating now their design plans to incorporate these improvements. When it comes to timeline for a project, they are to finalize their plans, design plans, in March of next year, and construction would take place between July of 2024 and March of 2025. But it would include dual southbound right turn lane from Indian Creek Drive onto westbound 41st Street.
Milo, okay, go ahead, Justin.
Yeah, I was going to ask, Milos, this is Justin Jacobs. What is the plan for, I know there was some discussion, although it was a little bit unclear, as to what would happen to the westbound 41st stretch between Collins and Indian Creek. And can you update, you know, what the thinking is around that?
Absolutely. So as part of these improvements, there wouldn't be any change, is my understanding, so far, to that movement. As you might recall, during Indian Creek reconstruction project, that movement was had to be discontinued because of the temporary setup of the MOT and temporary dual southbound right turn lane. However, as part of this FDOT long-term improvement, that movement would stay as is.
Okay, and that's, and just to confirm, that would be during, kind of before, during, and after. So there's no temporary closing during that is contemplated.
All right, we do not contemplate any closure of westbound 41st Street between Collins and Indian Creek Drive.
Okay, that's great to hear. I know that the portion of MBNA that is north of 41st that has to deal with what is some very difficult traffic coming down south on Indian Creek. We're strongly supportive of alleviating that concern. Sounds like it's going to take a fair bit of time, but we just want to make sure for those of us that are south of 41st, which is kind of the other half of MBNA, that there's no temporary or permanent impact to that. And it sounds like there's not.
So, Milo's, two questions. So this is not a temporary provisional plan. This is going to be the full thing, because we had read that at first it's just going to be something temporary. And number two, so this only will impact the removal of X amount of parking spaces, correct?
That is correct. So what I explained, and the resolution has to do, and FDOT improvements as part of their upcoming project have to do with the permanent improvements. And there would be 15 parking spaces, on-street parking spaces that would be impacted as part of the addition of the dual southbound right turn lane, as there would be space required for such addition.
And is there a study? Oh, go ahead, Justin.
I was going to say, Milos, that part confused us as a board a little bit. Does that mean that the southbound Indian Creek between 41st and 44th, is there going to be movement eastbound to take away those parking spaces of that stretch of road?
That would be the case. There would be a bit shift towards east, correct? And simply because of the shift of the travel lanes, the parking spaces would not be preserved.
I see. Okay. So this is not pending a study. The study has already been done. The resolution indicated that there's a study that needs to be done.
Correct. So, you're absolutely right. So when we initially spoke with FDOT, FDOT was requesting that we, the city, do a follow-up analysis, as there was analysis that was done a couple of years ago. Once we committed to it, and once we took resolution to City Commission, and after City Commission adopted resolution, we shared that resolution with FDOT, and we seeked meeting with FDOT to finalize the scope of that analysis. At that time, they stated that they would be conducting analysis themselves and incorporate improvements as part of the design plans.
And Milos, this is Oscar Vasquez. And did that include did that analysis or study include the northbound left turn on 41st from Collins?
We actually asked FDOT to share with us the scope of their analysis. We haven't received that yet.
So it hasn't started, the study?
We are unaware or we are unsure whether it would include this northbound left turn from Collins on to the 41st Street. So we asked them to basically share whether that would be included or not. Our understanding is that there is no change to that movement.
Okay. That's great news. Great news, because we don't want to disrupt anybody's mode of transportation and travel. So as long as you can make it happen by just removing the parking, yeah, we never like to lose parking, but if that's what it takes to preserve what we need, then so be it. But we're very grateful to the commission for having approved that resolution and proceeded to resolve this issue, because the traffic is really, really awful heading south. We're going to go ahead and work with on the traffic north as well with FPL in a minute. But Milos, now that we have you on, Deb, would you want to just keep going? Anything else, Justin, or are we good?
Yeah, I guess just one follow-up, Milos, and thank you for joining and providing the update. I would say two just follow-ups. When you receive the information regarding the from Collins northbound left turn onto 41st, it would be great to understand whether it's a subset of MBNA or something, if we could just understand that as well, because that is not as big a pain point, I think, as southbound on Indian Creek, but it is a pain point for those of us south of 41st, that left turn is difficult to make significant parts of the day. So that would be the first request. If you could just share that with us at the time you get it or thereabouts, that would be very helpful so we could provide any input.
Absolutely, we will do so. And I will tell you that a couple of years ago, if you all remember, given the challenges with that movement, we reached out to FDOT and we asked them to reassign lanes at 44th Street so that there is an additional opportunity for westbound left turn there, because previously at that location at 44th and Indian Creek Drive, westbound approach, we had three lanes turning right or north and one lane turning left or south. So that was an additional mitigation effort that FDOT did implement a couple of years ago. But, there are still challenges with the northbound left turn at 41st. So we recognize and we'll share it with you.
I appreciate that. Just as a... I'm sorry.
Milos, one last thought on that left turn. It seems to me that there is a synchronization issue during peak hours. In other words, that at peak times, the changing of the lights is not properly synchronized for that flow of traffic, which of course increases exponentially when the workers are leaving the city. So, I mean, I this appears to be something down in the 24 range, if that. So if the city or somebody could possibly double check and see if the lights are as well synchronized as they can be.
Absolutely, we will look into that, and we are proactively looking at all traffic signals along 41st Street and along actually the around the entire city. It's just, you know, this particular one has a couple of challenges. Number one, really the heaviest movements are either the eastbound movement along 41st Street in the morning or southbound movements in the afternoon, through movements. And given that this is at a great intersection, we really have to play with time, almost like we are giving money to each one of the approaches while trying to save as much money possible, right? Yeah. The challenge, in addition to demand, is also very limited storage that is provided along that westbound approach of 41st Street to Indian Creek Drive. So we can always only store about 10 to 15 vehicles max, and after that, they spill back into the intersection. But absolutely, point well taken.
It's very important. I didn't hear the discussion. I just want on this point, and this is very important too. So obviously we've all discussed the turning. We want two lanes turning north on Indian Creek into 41st Street. That's what this whole thing's all started, how this thing started. Now I understand everybody's position also coming from Collins Avenue going to 41st Street. But I have to tell you that many times you have to have a policeman there, because when the people are trying to turn into 41st Street from Collins Avenue, they block the roads, where then you get backed up onto Indian Creek because people could not move forward because suddenly there's only four cars there. And now you've got the entrance going to CVS. It's such a big mess there right now. So you have to figure out how to stop the traffic going from Indian Creek, turning it to 41st Street and not blocking the roads. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. I think that you meant to say Collins Avenue from Collins onto the westbound.
Collins Avenue going north, turning west on 41st Street.
Yep.
They just block the traffic. Then suddenly the traffic that you get a green line, you're trying to go now east from 41st Street into Collins Avenue, you can't turn, you can't move, you can't do nothing. It's total blockage, and the traffic gets blocked into Indian Creek, and they can't move. So suddenly it's a total standstill, and they got to call the police. So I'm just saying something has to flow there better.
We understand that. I'm not sure if anyone, if we have any members from police in here that would want to take that, but from the signal timing perspective, we will look into anything that could be done, if anything.
And Milos, the second follow-up I had is, to the extent there is any potential change in what you've outlined, which I think is you've outlined it, is a good place for kind of the north constituents and the south constituents of 41st of MBNA. If there's any change in that, if we could be made aware of that, because it is a very sensitive issue for our entire constituency in somewhat different directions. And so I think, as you've outlined it, that's a good solution. And if it's going to change, or is there any potential to change, we'd like to give input on that immediately.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
May I say something, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Abra.
Sorry, Justin. Milos, I know that you've given us assurances that you plan nothing to change. But does the DOT supersede the city?
Actually, they were very pleased with the city commission resolution, and we actually have an additional follow-up meeting later this week on Friday, just to go over all the improvements. And in addition to what we asked for, we also are asking for some modifications to the bus stop. So they have been amenable, and so far, no issue. So if that answers your...
Okay, I just didn't want them to do something without your knowledge and it became too late.
No, we are actually very closely coordinating with them, and they're coordinating with us. So we have a very good working relation with them.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
pleasure.
So I'd like to acknowledge that Jose Eduardo is on, Deb. And Jose, can you identify yourself, please, so we can rename? That's not Jose Gonzalez, are you? Jose?
Yeah, there's I see Jose Flores. Hi, Jose. Hello. Thank you for being
on. How are you?
But I don't know who the other Jose is. I was hoping that was Jose Gonzalez, but I don't think it is.
Yes, it is me.
Oh, okay. I'm going to rename you.
Yes, I wasn't sure which Jose you were referring to, but yes, my apologies. I called in a few minutes late. Milos was already providing the update, and it sounds like he did an excellent job. And I think, you know, we've had, we have good news so far, and we'll keep an eye on this, you know, the dual southbound right turn lanes. We'll get a copy of the traffic study, make sure that, you know, they're not adversely affecting that northbound Collins to westbound 41st Street movement. And, you know, at least it's moving in the right direction.
Okay, so let's hurry this up then. 24 seems like a long time from now. We need a quick solution on this. I mean, get it past the planning stages. Monica, mm-hmm. Do you want to say something? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Deb, go ahead.
Okay, fantastic. All right, Milos, Jose, don't go away because I'm super cranky about this whole FPL project. And Kevin Polito, are you on? Yes, you are on, Kevin. I see you.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi. So I do want to address this thing because you know how we kind of have this thing in Miami Beach, live, work, play. I live here. I work here half the time. My husband works here full time. My kids go to Nautilus and Beach High. And then my kids also row at the Miami Beach Rowing Club. And just like everybody at the Caribbean and around us, traffic is driving me nuts. So this theme of live, work, play is not applying for me. It's not working. I think it's ridiculous that it takes me 45 minutes to take my kids from Nautilus Middle School to the rowing club. So if you can give us an update on the FPL projects that's taking place from 50th to about, what is that? Yeah, about
63rd.
I can't stand it, Kevin.
So for those that are not familiar with what we're talking about, we're addressing now the construction, those that live from 57th, approximately 58th to 63rd. We've reached out to the city and they have a few representatives from FPL here today to give us an update on this project and anything we can do to expedite it because it is a standstill. A lot of people that are on this call are suffering what Deb is suffering and what she's describing, and they suffer it daily. So we know that it's got to be done and we understand that and we empathize with those that are trying to rush it, but we really need to get this resolved and more signage and there's a lot of things that can improve, Kevin. So go ahead. All yours, Kevin.
Thank you and good evening. Thank you for having me, Ken Polito, Neighborhood Affairs Director. So on the call today, joining us, we have our Public Works right-of-way manager, O'Neill, and then Christopher Fedet is our FP&L Government Affairs contact. So he's here on the FP&L front to give you all an update. I think I timed it pretty good where at 6:30, you should have all had got an email. If you didn't receive that email, please sign up on our engagement toolbox at miamibeachfl.gov/engagement toolbox. We just sent out an update to the working hours for this project. I think I'm going to turn it over to Chris first so he could give you all some background on this project and why it's so important. Our initial goal was to do this work overnight, but like Deb said, part of live, work, and play is sleep. So there was a lot of people north of 56th Street that sent some, upset emails that there was overnight work. So then we tried to adjust the schedule, their FP&L schedule, which had an impact on their completion time. So now I think we're at a point where Chris could give us an update on the need for this project and what's his timeline on getting out of the area. Chris?
Yes, thank you, Kevin. And you did time it perfectly because I got your email while we were in this meeting. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Christopher Ferrer. I'm the External Affairs Area Manager for Florida Power and Light Company for the City of Miami Beach. On the call as well with me, I have Luis Garcia, who is the leader for central maintenance and construction for FPL in the Dade County area. We have Lennon Vargas, who is the project manager for the project that's taking place on Collins Avenue between 56 and 63rd Street. And we also have Hector Maestri, who is the account manager from our customer service team for the City of Miami Beach. So Kevin is correct, and I think we've been on calls before with this group talking about the criticality of this project. This project is working directly on facilities that are underneath Collins Avenue, which service all the buildings along Collins, right? And they provide the service to your homes, an essential service, which is electricity. And I'm sure no one wants to be out of power or facing an extended outage. The work is intended to improve reliability in the area to provide us additional flexibility to be able to switch power around to different feeder lines that we have that service this area. And Kevin is correct as well in talking about that we tried to accomplish this work at nighttime, trying to do the work. The construction work is very noisy. We have to literally tear up Collins Avenue to access our underground facilities to be able to replace them. Given the issue with the noise complaints and trying to minimize the number of complaints that have been coming in, we have had to ask our contractor to slow down the work or the progress along this corridor. And so we've been meeting both at FPL with our contractor as well with the city over the last couple of weeks for many, many hours. And we've tried to come up with a better plan to ensure that we can get out of this area as quickly as possible and complete the project. So at this time, I'm going to ask Luis Garcia if he can unmute and go ahead and give the update in terms of the working hours and the estimated completion date for this work.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right. So good evening, everyone. My name is Luis Garcia, as Chris mentioned. I lead our construction team in the Dade region, working a lot of projects with our contractor partners. So as Chris mentioned, we've had some internal conversations on this specific project and the concerns of the residents. And we have worked with City of Miami Beach to change the working hours to 7 to 4 or 4:30. I don't remember correctly now, but I know it's between 7 and 4:30. And starting this Friday, so that will help us one to address the concerns of the residents and expedite the work. So based on that new schedule and some additional resources, we will be asking our vendors to put on this job. We expect that by the 18th of November, we should be done with the construction work up to 63rd Street along Collins Avenue. We will be managing this very closely, working, we'll be tied to the hip with our vendor on this one. We're very close to the end. We've been on this project for several months and really wanted to bring it to closure as well. So Lennon Vargas, who works for my team, is the project manager. He'll be working very closely with our vendor throughout the next weekend, 2.5 weeks, to make sure we're making the progress we expect to meet that date of the 18th and can hopefully put this behind us, and then we'll follow up with coordinate any restoration work required in this section of the project.
So let me just ask a quick question. So the noise ordinance, we understand, but 4 o'clock seems very early. Can't you double up these last 2 weeks? I mean,
So the biggest thing, Alicia, is, and as you've all seen, and probably as if you go out tonight, the work requires two lane closures on Collins Avenue, and it's happening where the curve is. So that's kind of where you have that, this kind of empties onto Collins. So that area in itself is already a pinch point. And since it requires two lanes closed on Collins, if we were to allow them to go past 4 o'clock, you go into that peak rush hour time, 7 a.m., you have a lot of people coming southbound into the beach. As we go into the afternoon, that's when a lot of people start going northbound. So 4 p.m. was the time where we have the opportunity to give them all that working time. At 4, they clear it up, and hopefully we're not going to see a lot of traffic. I do think Friday, I don't know why recently, whether it's our Zoom culture or work from home, there's a lot of people that seem to get out early on Fridays. And every Friday for the past couple of weeks, we've had a little bit of an increased traffic. So I think this Friday, we're probably going to feel it a little more. So try to plan accordingly. And then as we go into next week, we should be in a much better place where at the 4 p.m. time, we'll have two lanes reopen on Collins. So we have two lanes going north. But during the daytime, and this is the biggest thing, during the day, you're going to have that one lane closed from 50, I want to say 6th up to 63rd. So that is going to be kind of a pinch point during the day, but we will have less traffic.
So after FPL is done, then Public Works comes in to asphalt the street. What's the next step? They have to refinish all that mess on the asphalt, correct?
Yeah, and that's not going to be FPL. That's going to be DOT. O'Neill, I think, is on the call. O'Neill, do you have any updates on that project and when they're planning to come into the area?
Yeah, immediately after FPL completes their project, then FDOT has also an asphalt renourishment project along this border, which is why FPL was asked to have multiple contractors doing this corridor. Now, I believe there's a portion of the work that they've done that the restoration will be part of FPL's responsibility, but the remaining of that, the asphalt restoration will be completed by FPL. I don't have the exact date of when they're going to start, but I could definitely find out that data and share with you guys.
And O'Neill, just to clarify that immediately after, while we don't have the date today, our intent is to have Collins open to full capacity during Basel and Thanksgiving. So during Thanksgiving and Basel. So we know that Basel brings increased traffic and heavy traffic. So this is part of the reason why we want FPL to clear out of that area, have our roads up to full capacity. So that way we have the increase in visitors that come in. Then whenever FDOT decide, you know, when they give us their schedule, we'll share that with you through our updates and whatnot.
And Kevin, if I can add, I mean, as soon as we can, we will reopen the lane. We will obviously do temporary patching to allow for cars to travel over while we do the whatever restoration work is required from the city and or FDOT.
Okay, so it'll be ready, but not aesthetically, but at least the lanes will open November 18th. Let's review. November 18th, FPL is out of there. There'll be patches or things on the asphalt so that the lanes can reopen. Then we take a pause for a few months, correct? And then we begin, the city begins, or the FDOT begins to finish the roadway, to make it aesthetically pleasing. And then that takes how long? Do we have an ETA on that? Then we close again, obviously, right? One lane will close again at a time. Is that what we're seeing? Is this all planned and coordinated? I hope.
Yeah.
It's all in coordination. FPL has been in close coordination with FDOT. I know FDOT is waiting for FPL to complete their work, because the last thing we wanted is for FDOT to have completed brand new asphalt and then FPL have to come in.
Exactly.
Tear it up, which is why FDOT has delayed their project until FPL completes that section of the underground work, and then we could go, and then FDOT could go back and do the asphalt restoration. As far as the dates and the timeline and the hours of operation, that's something that we could definitely come back to you guys with that update.
I see the vice mayor has his hand. Yeah.
And
I want to just thank you. I just want to thank Chris from FPL. We brought him to the city commission and we put him a little bit on the hot chair, or in Spanish we say en la silla caliente, for you know, the amount of project that's going on in the city, the gridlock it causes, and the concern of Art Week coming up, and how we avoid that. And Chris made the public commitment at commission that all these projects would not be impacting us come November 18th, to ensure that there is that flow of traffic. And in addition to that, Chris, as I told you publicly at the meeting, the aesthetics of it is very important, and I get it. There's only so much you can do, but We should be, this is the time for our city to shine. It should always shine for our residents, but most especially when the eyes of the world are on us, and it should really look as good as it can. It's not just about getting the equipment out of there, but really let's try to make it look good because our community deserves that. And thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And to the Vice Mayor's point, Alicia, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And then November 18, all the steel plate that use to protect this the road is going to be removed, all the steel plates.
So I think maybe that's a question for Chris on your team or Lewis.
I can answer that. I'm sorry. So yeah, the steel plates are there temporarily. So yes, those will be gone, and we will asphalt the road back to a where it can be traveled by vehicle traffic, and we'll try to get it as aesthetically pleasing as possible for you all. But yes, the plates will be gone. Those are just there temporarily while we're doing construction.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I was just going to add, Alicia, to the Vice Mayor's point, you sent us a question, concern about the cleanliness of that site. Joe's team and the Public Works team, they immediately responded. We had street sweepers out there, and you'll probably see some of that activity continue as we go into that Basel week.
I want to share that, and I want to, on behalf of the MBNA and all members, to say thank you, Kevin, for following up with that. I know Commissioner Minor also got involved in that, and you sent us pictures as proof that you were sweeping it. So pictures are always valuable. So that's good. Thank you for following up. What Commissioner Fernandez was saying, we can't have dirt and trash, and it's not correct. And signage is important too. I think there was some issues, like if it's really bad, how about one of those that lights up and says traffic is stalled or 10 minutes from this street to this street? Because once you get stuck in there, you can't really turn. And we have some condos that are there that people are going into their properties to make a turn to get out of the traffic jam. And maybe if they were warned before, that will be helpful. So even if they have to make illegal U-turns or get in the frontage road to make a U-turn. But that's before they get stuck in there. So maybe that'll help too, even though we're almost at the end. So hopefully Deb, you can start living, working, and playing soon.
Yeah. And sleeping.
And sleeping.
Yeah, thank you all for your patience. I think the biggest thing is on Friday is going to be, as with everything, as there's a change, there is a period of pain, if you will. So Friday, we're going to try to for it to be as smooth as possible. And I know Chris is going to work with his team on that and Lewis. But I would, make your plans accordingly. If you have dinner plans on Friday, maybe start heading north or using a different route closer to 4 p.m. So that way, going into next week, it should be much smoother. So, thank you for your patience. We'll take back that request for VMS boards. I think Jose's still on the call.
Okay. And back to notifications, Kevin. So you know how whenever they have the bicyclists coming out and they say, hey, there's actually going to be cyclists the next day. I mean, I think we're all just going to suck it up right now. As you're saying, hey, Deb, you got 2 weeks to go. We're going to be working very intensely. We're going to have two roads closed until November 18th. Just think about alternate routes. And if you allow me to plan for that, because look, you guys, I only live at 47th. My son's school's at Nollis and Beach High. I just have to get to 63rd. But for me to wait 45 minutes, then maybe I'll go circle around and go around the bridge, and land over course. There.
So yeah, and that's a great point. I put a link for those who did not get the email. You could go in the chat and you could click on our notice that just went out. That's going, once I get off this meeting at 7, we'll probably do at 7:15 or so. We'll do a traffic text and we're going to send that out. We're sending another email tomorrow, again, with a traffic text, just so people have the information and they could plan accordingly. And like I said, I know Friday is going to be smooth, but, I just want everybody to just be aware on Friday. If you have those plans, maybe plan to leave a little earlier. And then I know I'm confident going into next week, it should flow a little better.
Other thing is, Kevin, to receive those traffic texts, I did it like 1,000 years ago, but if I wanted to set it up on my kid's phone, what was the text?
That's a great point, and thank you for the plug. I'm going to type it in the chat. For those of you listening, what you do is you text in the body of the message, you're going to put MB alert, and you're going to send that to 888-777. In the past, we used to use MB traffic. If you're enrolled into MB traffic, you don't need to resubscribe. It takes 2 seconds, so you might as well if you can. So it's MB alert to 888-777. It's going to ask you for a zip code. If you could put one of your, you know, if you have different properties or whatnot, put a Miami Beach zip code. So 33139, 33140, or 33141. So that way you're getting Miami Beach alerts, because this is a nationwide program. So we don't want you getting anything from up north.
So for the non-techies, we send a text to MB alert.
Yeah, no, you'd send a text to 888-777. So that's where the number, the contact goes. Uh-huh. In the body, like where you write your message, you're going to put MB alert, all one word.
But if we all try it now, let's see real quick. Send a text to 888-777.
And then now you click in the body.
MB alert.
MB alert, all one word.
Okay, send. It just sent. Nothing happened.
There you go. Now give it a couple seconds.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Okay. We did it. Everybody, you should all be doing it easy. Perfect. Reply with your zip code. Perfect.
We try to, you know, since we're on this, we try to text. I think our hours are from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. If there is an emergency on a significant thoroughfare, like MacArthur westbound was closed on Tuesday, that message came in a little early, woke a few people up at 6:30, but we try to be respectful of those times. Granted, if there is a public safety emergency, we'll be texting you a little earlier, later.
Who sends this? The city? Your department? Yes.
Yep. Yeah. It's a combination of the marketing team, marketing communications, okay, and neighborhoods.
Done. Perfect. Good info to have.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks, Chris, for coming in. Now I wish we had a summer meeting so I could have asked you more of a detailed update back then, but I'm going to pinch myself later. So thank you, guys. Thanks for FPNL for all being on here, too. Thanks, Kevin. And thank you, Commissioner Fernandez, understanding that many of the residents are in gridlock because we're stuck on 41st. Now we're stuck on 50th and Collins. And it's like, we just can't get any breathing room right now. Okay, so our next item that we want to move forward on is, Alicia, this is yours, Beachwalk Working Group Updates, 56th Street.
Okay, I think we have with us Gabby. Where are you? I saw her a minute ago. Gabby, you here? Gabriela Gonzalez.
Yes, okay, we're on the same team.
Okay, so we'll, the first thing on our agenda is the 57th Street Beach Access. So there were some residents that were upset, and understandably so, that beautiful new entryway to the beach walk off 57 Ocean, the new condominium that we all negotiated in numerous MBNA meetings. And they promised that they would have create an access for those that are on the west side of Collins Avenue, the condos that are on the west side or on Indian Creek, to be able to cross over and enter the beach. I don't know if any member here is on this meeting that is aware of what I'm talking about, but anyhow, so some research was done, and Gabriela sent a very detailed and well-written email explaining what was going on, but maybe you can say it here. By the way, on the Beachwalk site of midbeach.net is that email, and also what she found and the evidence that she found. So the actual email is posted, so be careful what you write, Gabby, because it goes on viral all over the world on that website. So go ahead and explain to us what happened here.
Absolutely. Point taken. So with regards to the 57th access point, so there is a beach walk access, for those of you that do not know, to the beach walk. So that access point, which is on the south side, if you're looking at the map, if you're on the south side, it'll be on that that beach walk access point that actually links you to the beach walk. So during the construction plans for 57 Ocean, there was a requirement for them to provide that access way. Unfortunately, we did have, you know, increased homeless activity that was creating a bit of a nightmare for that property and some of the neighboring properties as well. And so because of that, they followed through with the actual document and agreement that allows for the beach walk to be open from sunrise to sunset. Now, I know that some of the concerns that Oscar brought in our last meeting was that this sunrise to sunset would definitely impact people being allowed in during the winter months time. And I know that that was another question that you guys had also brought up as far as MBNA reaching out to us with that. And like I explained to you in that email, that that access will remain the same even going into our winter months, just because, of course, we want to make sure that the safety of that property and all the other residents that are using that access way are taken into consideration. So they are in compliance with that document and with that agreement that was originally put out. And so that ordinance is, of course, going to remain in effect for their property. I know that I did explain to you guys, and there were a couple other access points that were open outside of those hours. And so I will just kind of leave them here as well for you guys. There's an additional access point close by on 5785 Collins Avenue, as well as on the Bath Club, which is at 5959 Collins Avenue as well. And so we believe that those do not have hours of operations, and you guys will be able to access the beach walk through those entry points. But again, just to kind of reiterate, the one on 57th and Ocean will definitely not, 57 Ocean, not 57th and Ocean, but 57 Ocean will definitely be closed during that period of time. And of course, this doesn't change our closure on the actual beach, which those hours, of course, remain in effect from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. So that was just kind of a bit of a recap from our email. And then, of course, like Alicia said, that conversation has been made public on their website.
You saw it already before?
Yes, I did.
You saw it.
I had my 5 minutes of fame with you guys.
Okay. Yeah, it's important that we were transparent and that we communicate with our members everything that's happening, and that's the best forum we can come up with. So,
absolutely.
And this is Rafael Delgado representing 57 Seacoast. And, I generated an email concerning that. And thank you, Gabby, for that update. And I guess the only follow-up that I have is whether indeed this issue of safety and perhaps nuisances is still valid. If we were to, test it in the sense of not closing the gates every day or every night, whether that still continues to be a problem. Can that be evaluated? Is that something that, whom can we discuss that idea
with? So Rafael threw me off. You're at the Seacoast property or are you at 57 yes. Ocean? Okay. So
Seacoast.
Yeah, okay. So the city, we did approach 57 Ocean to potentially discuss if they would feel comfortable with any changes. During that meeting, they brought some police matters to our attention that we weren't necessarily aware took place. Like Gabby said, they're completely within their rights in that agreement. So they're doing everything per that agreement, and that's correct. We were looking at an opportunity to do some kind of pilot with them, like you said, but they brought some concerns to us that we've escalated over to police, and we want to work with that building to get them in a place where they feel comfortable to possibly reopen or to open it and change that agreement. Because, as of today, they have a legal agreement. They're doing everything right per that agreement. We were just, from some of the questions through the MBNA and Oscar and some other members that have reached out to us, we were just in good faith trying to reach out and see if they would be open to it. But with those public safety concerns, we understand why they don't want to right now. We're gonna see where this goes with police, and then hopefully maybe some point next year or so we could try to revisit it, but we don't want to apply too much pressure.
Honestly, I don't think any of us realized when this was all being negotiated, that this was the case, the sunset to sunrise, or, we missed it. And we, it's something we all have to be very aware of when we're trying to, approve a building or developers to do something and in exchange for us supporting their projects and their vision, we say, well, you're going to get this and this and this in exchange, and we don't really look at the thin lines. So we have to be more aware of these things in the future. I had no idea, honestly. None of us had an idea that was going to be closed at night or at sunset. I mean, maybe closed at 11 o'clock, but at sunset, people still want to go out at sunset. I can understand why the neighbors are concerned.
Kevin or Gabby, a quick question. The initial communication on this, the impression I got was that it was being closed at the same time every day. Do we know for a fact if it is being closed at sunrise and sunset?
The ordinance or the development agreement is sunrise to sunset. So as we're going into the fall months, sunset's creeping up a little more and more.
So we
would have to check with the building, and we don't have any concrete evidence that it's, you know, every day it's getting changed.
Rafael, probably, do you know? Does Rafael know maybe?
I think Rafael is not in that property.
I will confirm that. I don't know firsthand, but I will confirm it also. If it is changing over time as the sunset becomes earlier.
They're putting a chain, and I'm sure they have somebody in their security staff doing it.
If I may interject, it's Officer Hazi, by the way. Good evening. So I do have a relationship with the manager from 57 Ocean, Mr. La Pietra, and I think it would probably be a good idea to invite him to join the MBNA so he can actually be a part of these meetings and give their input as of why, you know, they're doing this and what the issues have been. So I can say for...
Officer Hazi, can you do that introduction with me and
Absolutely.
Him?
Absolutely.
Officer Hazi, since I have you on the phone and I know the captain's on too, maybe you guys can give us a quick safety update. I know that this past week, I feel like it's been very active. Like one of your guys been pulling over the electric bicycle guys recently. Thank you very much, by the way. I appreciate that.
I don't have any information on that. I don't know if the captain wants to add on something to that effect.
Because I saw him here.
Yeah, I'm on here. Good evening, everyone. It's Greg Baldwin with the Beach Police. I know that's been an ongoing issue with the electric vehicles on the beach walk. So we've made a concerted effort. I don't have the numbers for what we've done, but in general, the complaints along the beach walk have been going down the past couple of weeks. We did have one issue with the EF Language School that Officer Hazi and I.
Oh, Captain, you got muted.
Okay, there we go. Am I back?
Yes. Yeah, you're back.
Okay, yeah. So we spoke to Charlotte over there at the EF, and we addressed that with her and her students causing some issues on the beach walk. But everything seems to be going well, unless there's more specific complaints that anyone has. As far as the beach access up there goes, obviously the time's going to change with its sunset. I don't think they're setting it at a particular hour, say 7 o'clock, and keeping it consistent, which some days will be before sunset, some days will be after sunset. But I'm sure we can look into that, and Officer Hazi can get you introduced, and so we can get him on board. I would just say that in addressing it, if any of your residents have any issues with the beach access being closed, please give us a call. We're there. Don't confront the staff of the building or try to address it by yourself. If you give us a call, we'll see what we can work out for the time being because we're more than happy to help.
I have one question since we're talking about the safety issues and the beach walk access. So I know when they built the beach walk, they kept all the entry points. They made very narrow sitting like concrete benches, so to say, because they didn't want homeless people to sleep there at night. But for whatever reasons, on the entrance of 43rd Street onto the beach walk, they made wide concrete benches. And there have been homeless people congregating there primarily in the weekends. So I think in one of the last meetings we've had, they said they were going to look into, I didn't mention or bring it up on the 43rd Street entry point, but they said that they were going to look when we're discussing the homeless people on changing the tops of the sitting areas that were too wide. So I just want to make a point, since we're now discussing that they should look into the 43rd Street entry point and change the concrete seats there and make them more narrow because they're sleeping there on the weekends.
Yeah, I can't answer to the configuration of the seats, but I can make sure that I put that on my list and we can address it on a regular basis to see if we can keep that area clear.
Or dividers in the middle, but that's not his department. But you know, dividers on the seats so that people sort of make it uncomfortable for them. But
yeah, I'm sure there are ways we can address it.
Yeah.
Michelle, that was 43rd. Michelle, that was 43rd.
Yeah, the entrance of 43rd Street. Yeah, and the police are pretty good about it. I mean, I see them coming. They're trying to shoo them, and they argue with them, and then they come back again. And it's usually every weekend. So the police are probably aware about it. And then then sometimes you have 2, 3, 4 homeless people just congregating there, sleeping there all day, because if they sleep there overnight, it's a wide bench, concrete bench.
Yeah, it looks comfortable. All right. Okay, thank you, Captain. Thank you, Officer
Hoxie. We're still on beach walk.
If I could just jump in, if I'm recognized.
Go ahead, of course.
Because to the point that Michelle just raised, at the last city commission meeting or the one before that, I did bring a resolution directing the city administration to look at those caps on those benches or those retaining walls, right, and to reshape them so that they would not be conducive to people sleeping on them. So that an individual could still lean against it if you need to,
On it. It could be sit. It's just as long as you can still sit on it. It's just gotta be narrow.
Right. And to your point also about the beach entrances, some being narrow, some being wider, and how it's perhaps a little bit intimidating for people when they're in a narrow stretch, all of a sudden, it's more narrow when you have individuals who are sleeping there and all that.
With their bicycles, all there, yeah.
We are working on a policy. We're working on a policy. Our city attorney's office and us, we're working on a policy to define what are the intended uses of the beach entrances. And from my perspective, when I requested the legislation, I made it clear to the city attorneys, it should be clear that the beach entrances are transitory in nature. You enter the beach, you exit the beach, but you don't stay at the beach entrance for hours and hours and hours. And we're doing that we need to be compassionate with the homeless, but we also need to protect the dignity of our residents and the quality of life of our residents. So we're working in creating this policy as a tool to the police officers so that they can ensure that that this area remains welcoming for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Right, Alicia, you want to address the encroachment?
So yes. So first of all, we want to recognize all the private properties that have done such an amazing job, including the Caribbean, in fixing up their east-facing shrubs and landscapings, and they've really done an amazing job. Esteban rides through there all the time, and I walk a lot there too. We take pictures and we see what's going on. So that's wonderful. Also, a lot of people have purchased the MBNA, let's call it, designed signage that is a required signage. So that also is great because it unifies our community, just like Bal Harbour has and Surfside. They all have the same kind of signage. And that's great. So there are still, and commissioners, there are still properties, as you saw, or as I sent you on an email, and as are posted on our website on the Miami, on the beach walk page, there's still a lot of encroachment happening. And what happens, encroachment is there's 18 inches on each side of the 15 feet wide sections of the beach walk that are pavers. And so to be safe, you have no choice but to walk on that 18 inches. And try to keep your life, keep yourself alive. So when there's encroachment and shrubs, and not only does it look awful, but it's also dangerous. So please, the city, and I don't know if Commissioner Fernandez or Commissioner Minor, if you have any updates on that as far as what the city is doing, or city staff, Kevin, is there anybody that knows if the city is going to be pruning and taking and removing the shrubs? Because now the private properties are doing it. There's only 3 hotels so far. From 47th to 1st, it hasn't, but the rest of the properties have, but not the city. Right by Faina, it's a mess, completely encroaching. There's videos and pictures on our web, so please take a look at it. And does anybody have
definitely? Yeah, we'll follow up on that. The last I heard, I believe we were I think we were like in the middle of a new contractor coming on board. So I know our staff went out, city staff went out, they did it themselves. And then they had the new contractor starting on a certain date. With the holiday season, Basel coming up, I'm sure we're in a big push to clean everything up. So I'll follow up on this item for sure. And I'll use those photos from your website.
Thank you. The other thing, just to finalize, Beachwalk is so far Milos. I think it's going to improve. I gave you a shout out because the new signage is up. It's beautiful. They're even going to revise a little bit more to put them a little bit bigger for the next batch of signs. Commissioners, great job in pursuing this as well. For those that haven't walked on the beach walk on the south, I think, Esteban, do we know, or Milos, do you know up to where it is now?
So currently,
give us an update. You go ahead and talk, Milos.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So yeah, first of all, thank you very much for positive feedback regarding the signage and striping that we recently installed on the beach walk as part of that pilot project that was revised in terms of the layout. And, you know, you provided great feedback even before implementation of the original, during the original, and now for implementation of any revisions that we have done. We are conducting observations and gathering some data and user feedback and just to ascertain its effectiveness. So far, we have only received positive feedback. I have enjoyed myself walking and biking on it, and I very much love the current layout, and everything that we have seen so far is positive, and we have seen so far very, very much compliance with the current layout where everyone stays to the right. Any tweaks to it, we will communicate to our city commission via LTCs in the future, but in terms of the limits, it's currently still between 15th Street and 24th Street.
Okay, and I'm going to share the screen real quick. Let me see if I can do that real quick so you can see what we're talking about here. And these are the stripes that we're talking about. And they're great. So everybody stays right. There's arrows. These are the signs. The next signs are going to say, a little bit larger, the normal means of transportation. Does that mean that electric bikes aren't on there? No, that doesn't mean that they still ride, but at least it's a way of doing it. And having these arrows, the signage is also very consistent, and it's definitely throughout. So this is helpful for people to keep and respect each other's right of way. So these are the encroachments here. These are the property signage. We have a lot of new ones. I think there's like 10 already, which is great. And if you're walking and you see these signs, you know that's an MBNA member. So that also gives the MBNA a little shout out there. And these are the private properties. So there's a few that still are not good, like these here, for example. So this is what encroachment means. This is right in the middle of where they're not supposed to be. So these are all encroaching. This is just recent. This is city-owned property, which is not good. And you'll see how it's blocked. So this is what hopefully will be taken care of soon. And these are older ones that now have been taken care of, many of these. So there's a historical here on that we just wanted to share with you.
And Alicia, I wanted to note that at the last city commission meeting on the consent agenda, there was a contract that was being approved that had to do specifically with the landscape and the maintenance services for these areas of our city along the beach walk. Usually those are approved on consent without any discussion. I pulled that item specifically to speak about the conditions of the beach walk, to ask our city administration to convey to that contractor that is getting the taxpayers' dollars that they need to deliver a better service for the taxpayers on the beach walk. So I just wanted you to know that this was important for me. I pulled that contract from the agenda so we could put it on the record and ask our administration to put that demand on the contractor that's being contracted.
Thank you. That's our number one amenity right now in the city, and it has to be maintained. Once again, aesthetics is important, and safety is priority, obviously. Thank you for doing that as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. So now we're going to move forward with the electric vehicle charges for surface parking lots. I have Esteban.
Well, we are waiting for the city that they are working with the FPL to know how much power they have and to install EV chargers in the open garage, open parking lot along Collins Avenue, 27, 35, 43. There are big ones that can get a nice place for the EV charging stations. I don't know, is Monica?
Monica on? I don't see her on now.
I'm here.
Monica's on.
Monica, okay, there you are.
Okay, Monica.
Can you give us an update?
Sure. So we met again with FPL, and we're trying to move forward quickly as possible with a possible contract with FPL. You know, here in the city, we have certain provisions and some requirements and some standard language that is part of our contract. But we're working with them to see what we can modify. So today I was in a meeting with the attorney that's helping us with this, and certain things came to light. And that is, I mean, we had considered them, but we really need to consider it further. And that is the fast chargers require a transformer to be installed, right? Installing a transformer is very expensive. Therefore, FPL requires a 10-year contract for these chargers. What we're trying to ensure is that, number one, technology moves very fast. So consider what your phone was 10 years ago. There's somebody that needs to mute.
Yeah, I'm trying to mute everybody. Everybody looks muted. That's strange.
So anyway, okay. So consider what your cell phone was 10 years ago, right? So it moves very quickly. And also we need to consider, like, for example, I really think that the lot on 27th is a prime location because it's a big lot, because it's well used, and because it has the demand of residents, right, as well. However, when you enter into this contract now, you're committed for 10 years not to touch this property, right? So, you know, if somebody came around and said, hey, how about if you did at whatever lot, if we wanted to build something, it wouldn't be available, because we have a 10-year contract on those locations. And understood, because the transformers are expensive, right? Additionally, then we also need to work, and this is what we're going to work on really intensely tomorrow, is we need to cause an easement, right? Provide an easement for these transformers, to be installed. And when you do that, right, and you put the transformer in that easement, then what happens after 10 years, right? So I'm working now with our property manager to say, okay, well, these transformers should not be just for the use of, and this is something that FPL has to clear, not only for the use of these charging stations, but also additional supply of electricity to our grid, right? So as quickly as we want to move forward, we are tying our hands to a certain extent for 10 years. And that's the only way we're going to get these fast chargers. Well, that's one of the ways. And we're going to get these fast chargers because of the expense of dropping so much energy at one given time. Okay, we're working on that. We're also working on an RFP. Now, all of this is non-exclusive, right? So we could say we have FPL here, charge point there, and Blink here, and whatever, right? And we're also looking at grants to improve our, but the bottom line is that technology is moving very quickly, right? And we need to stay up with technology. But when you make a 10-year commitment, particularly of land,
right? And later the city, or hey, MBNA may come and say, hey, you know what's a better use for this? We could have a garage and put something else on top, or whatever. We do have a 10-year commitment. So we are working with the attorneys. We met today. We're going to meet again tomorrow. I realize that there's a need. We want to do what's best, not only for today, but for tomorrow as well. The other thing is that FPL, they have committed, or FPL, they have committed that they could probably install a vault and move forward in like a 10-month period, which seems like a lot of time, but it really isn't, because it's a vault that they're going to do so that they can install. So it is on our priority list. We are moving forward. Tomorrow, you know, there are other alternatives that people are looking at so that it doesn't draw power necessarily from a transformer. And that could be available in a year or 2 years, or is available today. So we want to move forward. We do have the slower, again, it's because of the power grid that we have the slower chargers. But we're moving forward toward the faster charger, keeping in mind that with technology changes, then our what's today a very cumbersome and expensive solution may not be tomorrow. So it's on our radar, top priority. We've been working with Commissioner Fernandez as well. He brought FPL. I'm sorry that Christopher left, because he was part of our last communication. Also looking at our fleet needs within our city, as we are electrifying our fleet as well. But we're on it.
Monica, let me, you tell about 10 years from now, it's going to be more electric car than gasoline car. This is very important. All the city is doing that. All around the country, around the world, 10 years is going to go fast, and no more in a combustion internal engine is going to be cell, and we need to address this issue as possible, because everything technology is the same thing for electric and for electric vehicle, and Miami Beach must be friendly EV. Cars.
I agree. Yeah. I'm just concerned that tomorrow's battery may not require a big transformer, you know, but we can't say that today. So we need to work forward with what we know today, but keep in mind what we're doing for 10 years as we allocate these spaces and this easement, which would later not be available.
And we just need to, and I'm glad Commissioner Fernandez and Commissioner Miner are still on here. We just need to invest into our infrastructure. I mean, if it's a 10-year plan, we just have to at least get the infrastructure in, spend the money, and we have to do it. We just have to do it. Just like Esteban saying, go ahead.
And Deborah, there's, from my understanding, actually, Monica, and correct me if I'm wrong, in our conversations with FPL, there's actually not really a fiscal impact to the city from this. And that's one of the beauties of this. And frankly, as a person who brought this item to the city commission, this is a priority for me. The market is going in this direction. We can't be behind this, and it's only going to affect our residents. If in our public parking infrastructure, we do not provide these charging stations, frankly, 10 years does not concern me, because we're looking at 99-year leases in parts of our city where our hands will be tied. So we can consider 99-year leases for big property owners. We can consider a 10-year agreement to make sure that our citizens and our residents have access to the proper charging infrastructure, because it is the direction of the market. So Monica, let's get together again soon, because if it's something that we even need to send to the voters, because it's 10 years, I don't know, the charter provision on management and use of public spaces kicks in with that.
I checked on that first. Okay. So we're saving a lot of time there. No, it doesn't need to.
It doesn't need to go
to the waterfront, and where we're doing them, it wouldn't need that. So that's where we save a lot of time.
Okay, so I feel comfortable, you know, making this commitment on behalf of the residents.
And I feel comfortable as well, honestly. Like you said, 10 years is not a lot, but I think we want to place these things strategically in the larger locations so they serve the most people. And also these are locations where people would not be looking, or our elected officials would not be looking to say, hey, can we put workforce housing there, or can we change the use of a lot, right? Because you wouldn't be able to do it for 10 years. I should take advantage of that because I don't like people taking our parking garage, our lots, but whatever's best for the city. So we're working on that. And I assure you, we had a meeting today and we're having one tomorrow.
Hey, Justin, any comments on that? Because I know that we talked about that in regards to the EV chargers.
No additional comments from me. I don't know if any of the members who are joined here have questions around it.
Yes, I do. Okay. All right. Thank you, Monica. I'm a little bit puzzled. This 10-year. So do all the stations that are around have a 10-year contract? You only spoke about FPL, possibly Blink. You never spoke about Tesla. So I don't understand how come there are these EV stations on the west side of Miami, but there's hardly any on the east side. It's all of a sudden become a huge problem. Can't they just put these stations in? You know, everywhere else got grids too. I'm a little bit puzzled.
No, so let's talk about Tesla. Tesla has chargers on West Avenue in a private lot, right? They also have them here in our Pennsylvania garage. Okay, that Tesla, that installation took about 2 years, which is why I was so happy to hear from FPL that they could do it in 10 months or so, right? That took about 2 years, but it took creating a vault and putting a transformer. That's expensive. I think that's like 500% more expensive than the slower chargers, okay? So it isn't, We can install chargers anywhere in the city, but they're going to have to be the slower charger as long as there is electricity. But we do not have the power grid to support that huge. It's amazing how much power is drawn at one time. Okay. For that, you need a transformer. And that's the issue. Putting a transformer is very expensive. And this is why with Tesla, we had to work to modify their contract. There, we did 9 years, and anybody can park in those spaces and or reserve them, etc. Because by our bonds, our bonds where we lend borrow money, we cannot get free parking. Right? Tesla would not pay us, and we don't pay them. Because it's such a huge investment, right? So what we've done is provided the parking spaces, but we generate parking revenue. So I'm not violating any covenant that we have. Those are the little nuances that are part of how we can operate. The big challenge is providing sufficient energy at one given time to do a fast charge. And that's why we need to then install transformers. And then our hope is that when we work with FPL and we have a transformer for these charging stations, that we can also upgrade our power grid in the area.
Got it. Thank you, Monica. All right. So we have actually our meeting's almost adjourned. Alicia, I'm going to just let you wrap it up right now.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah,
can I ask one
our time is up, actually, 7:31.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
7:31. All right. That's what you always do to me, right, Alicia?
No, but look at the time.
Thank you very much again. That's twice in 2 weeks you told me to shut
up. That's okay? Not true. I've known him for 10 years.
So my question is what your pricing strategy is.
For FPL?
In other words, what is the customer going to pay? Because I've been in cities where I have an electric car. If you're in certain cities like Savannah, you charge for free if you pay in a public parking garage. Other cities, you pay a reasonable price. I charged here one place in Miami Beach. I paid like twice the price of what you pay for electric. So I think it's very important that we have a pricing strategy. as to what the consumer is going to pay for the car, and that if it's above a certain amount that FPL is getting, that the beach, the city gets some of the money. Okay? Because if we give FPL the right to charge whatever they want for the stations, and we don't control what they can charge, we've given away our property and we're getting no return. So I think the pricing strategy is something that's very important. That's what I want to
talk about. Let's talk about the next one. That's a good point, Jim.
It's a
Florida important commission that controls that, the pricing.
Who?
The Florida Commission of Energy or something. So there are Florida laws that control that. There's a range that they can charge, but we'll talk about it another time.
The range is very wide, is my point.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Definitely. Yes. In fact, some cities charge zero. Okay,
Jim,
so that's
Jim, I just want to assure you that this is present in our conversations with FPL. Monica and I have had this conversation with them to ensure that this is not something that would be price gouging our residents. It is a top priority to make sure that not only do we provide the infrastructure, but it is accessible in pricing and fair.
I think it's very important that we have pricing that encourage people to do this, because I've seen pricing I have a hybrid car and I've gone to stations where I stop and I go away because I put gas in the car because it's cheaper. So it's very important that we focus on this. And I'm really glad, Commissioner, that you're looking at it and that you're on top of this, because it's very important that we be perceived as a city that encourages this, not a city that profits on this. And I think that's very important. Okay. Thank you.
That's
a very good point.
Go ahead, Alicia. Go ahead, wrap it up.
We got to round out. So basically, the only thing that we did not cover was the Miami Beach Drive. And the Miami Beach Drive is, let me let Anna Marie in. Oh, she's just joining us. Okay, just we're finishing up. Okay. So it's something that Kevin, is somebody following up on that? What we're waiting for after the election to see who's going to take it, what commissioner will take the Miami Beach Drive on. It's going to be from 24th to 29th. We want to make that a beautiful, we want to make it the mid-beach promenade, a walking area with landscaping. Go to the website again. There's a page there and there's samples of what we envision for that area, which is so needed. Kevin, updates?
Not sure on the commission front, but I know Oscar reached out to our public works director, Joe Gomez. Joe Gomez, I believe, is working with that board. I know Arsenio is, I think, the president or former past president of your board. So Oscar reached out for an update with him. And I know Joe has had kind of back-to-back days recently. So I'll check in with him to see where we are. He told me he was going to reach out to Arsenio and probably walk it with Oscar and them. So that's something that will be coming soon.
And Alicia, just so you know, my mornings usually start with some sort of communication either to the city manager or the chief of police or the public works director about that stretch of the beach. I am, or Miami Beach Drive. I am there every single morning.
So you'll take this on
my run. But I'd be happy to work with you guys on that. But every morning, my conversations usually start having to do with what's going on there.
Great. Take a look at all the pictures so you can see our vision. And it's really been a pleasure, Commissioner Fernandez, to have you in this meeting and sharing so much information with us. You need to come every single month. And to the grand finale of our meeting today, Deb, is our president, Anna Marie. Anna Marie, unmute.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I apologize I can't be there with you all and during the meeting, but I'm confident that the team has done a great job today, and I can't wait to listen to this recording and look forward to following up on all the issues.
A lot was addressed today. I think it was a great meeting. Deb, thank you so much for taking it on, and we're working hard for all of you, and we're working hard to do the best that we can. And Deb, round it off.
That's it, you guys. Have a great night. We are not meeting in December, right?
The next meeting will be January 4th, probably on Zoom, because it's a holiday. And then we're planning to have, right, Annie? We're planning to have a Valentine's party for either we do a Valentine's cocktail party Or we do our in-person annual meeting, which is our March or April, wait, which is an annual meeting, March?
April 5th. April 5th is our annual meeting.
So April 5th is, I think, when we can celebrate and have our annual meeting and do a little cocktail party, and we'll get a sponsor and we'll go back to having a few in-persons, right? That's the idea. So
whatever the membership would prefer.
Just, you want to take a real quick before we're 7 minutes late, but it's okay. Does everybody prefer in-person or prefer Zoom? Raise your hands if you prefer Zoom to stay the way we are. Raise your hand. So Zoom. We're getting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, we have a lot that are not on live. So an informal poll. So I don't know. I know the commissioners is probably a lot more comfortable to do it on Zoom. So we'll mix them, right? I think that's what we can.
We'll mix it up. We'll figure it out. Thank you, everyone. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you all for joining.
Great job, Alicia. Good night. And Deb.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.